Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting broadcast of Deep Cough in the Deep. I am your host, Jeremy Lopez, and today I want to talk to you. It's almost like carrying over a theme in what we did in the last couple of broadcasts, and that is we talked about I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives us the strength, because I want to be able to talk to those who are business owners, who lost their businesses, who are managers, who are janitors, who are secretaries, who are mothers. I want to talk to everybody, because every one of you have a career. Did you know that? A working mother at home taking care of her children, guess what? You have a career. And we honor you today because we know that your job doesn't end at 5 o'clock. Your job ends never, because you're always on the clock with your children. And so we want to say congratulations, because you have the best job. And we mean that from the bottom of our heart here at the ministry. But guess what, folks? Every single one of you have a career. Every one of you have a life, a lifestyle. You know, the word lifestyle is thrown around today as someone who is this or someone who is that. Folks, guess what? You all have lifestyles. If you don't have lifestyles, you'd be dead. Everybody begins to create a lifestyle in which they want, a pattern that they want. Your patterns that you formulate from the ideas of God, from the ideas of yourself, from the ideas of His will, the ideas of your peers, your principal in school, your teachers, your mentors, your gurus, your parents, your family members, whoever and whatever, your surroundings always have been and always will be. They will always be formulating new patterns. That is called your lifestyle. It's the lifestyle that you live for yourself. And what that means is this, that when you begin to formulate these patterns and habits in your life, it is considered a lifestyle of something that you chose. And you might say to yourself, well, I didn't choose all this. Actually, you did. But today, you have the opportunity through these broadcasts, through our schools and our books, to be able to break the cycle, break the pattern. Folks, listen to me. Many of you need to break the habit and the pattern and the paradigm you've been walking in. You might say, well, I'm doing good in Jesus. You know what? I've got my doctrinal statements down put. I've got this going on and that going on. But in essence, folks, guess what? Everybody has a pattern and a habit that must be broken. And even though you might think to yourself, you know what? I'm actually, you know, moving in this great vein of God. I've got the anointing. I've got this or that. But bottom line is this, is you still have formulas that you go by. And all of us have formulas and patterns and habits that we begin to bring to our lives that harden and as patterns in our lives that say this is how we live. And yet we wake up one day, we wake up miserable, because guess what? Doctrines can't satisfy you. Patterns and habits and your comfort zones of things that you say you really like cannot always satisfy you. We always go from glory to glory, folks. We all go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, which means we go from dimension to dimension, new paradigms to new paradigms, new habits to new patterns, all the time, constantly. So you don't have a lifestyle. We all have lifestyles that are constantly shifting into new lifestyle patterns and habits, which means today you can do all things. You have the power in you to break every habit and every pattern. You have the power in you to begin to destroy right now your comfort zone. If you find yourself at a place where you're saying, you know what, all is well, I'm just loving the Lord, and I've just got this anointing, and I'm doing this and that, guess what? You're going to be one of the ones that's going to move into an idea and a habit that literally is going to begin to work for you today, but in the future, it'll make you miserable. Because we can look at that in the Bible, where the people, you know, the children of Israel, where they were snake bit. And what did Moses do? The God told Moses, he says, here's what I want you to do. Raise up a pole and put a snake at the top of it. I'll show you how to do it. And what will happen is as the people behold it and view it and look upon it, they'll be healed. So the very thing that was killing them and biting them to death, if they look upon that thing upon the pole, the very thing that was once hurting them will now heal them. And throughout time, the Bible says, and so imagine this. Imagine all these healings taking place all these snake bites. Imagine all these different things happening, and God just says, look upon this, and you're going to be healed. So imagine where a revolution started. Listen to me now. Where a revolution started, an idea from God started, and all of a sudden, people ran with the idea, and they began to get healed, and they began to see all these miracles happen of all these bites that they were getting and deaths they were taking place, and God began to correct. Put it another way, He began to reverse the curse. And guess what happened over a period of time? The Bible says over a long period of time, and most of those people had died out, but they began to honor the pole with the snake upon it more than anything. They began to almost borderline worship it more than they should. They began to idolize it more than what God meant for them to look upon it. And what happens is it began to bring forth a curse again. Because bottom line is this, folks, the thing you love right now will not last you forever. That means if you've got a business, if you're a mother, let me put it to you a great way. as a mother with those children. Did you know that you can love being a mother with a passion, love those children, and you're just like, man, I love being a mother. If you put all your faith and all your stock, so to say, in your motherhood ability, and don't put your stock in the unlimited source of supply that God has created in you to be unlimited, to constantly expand 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Did you know if you put your stock and faith completely in loving your motherhood ability more than anything, guess what happens before long? Because I've seen it happen in my own family. And what happens is this, is you begin to find yourself where your children get older, your children graduate from school, and all of a sudden off to college they go. Or maybe they get married and they begin to move away from you. And guess what happens? Your motherhood in you can no longer satisfy you because you're no longer that woman that you were when you begin to put so much faith and power into that role you played, that career role, that motherhood, that ability of that graced you to take care of them as children, as a mother. And guess what happens? You'll become depressed. You'll lose yourself. You won't know where to find yourself because that role, that character role you played for so long, even though you'll always be a mother, it played out because your children don't need you the way that they did when you were kids. And no matter how much they say, but we love you, Mom, we'll always be here. You'll always be our mother. And that's true. But guess what? You'll no longer ever change diapers again. You'll never, no longer ever, you know, tell them to sit down or spank their hand and say no, or, you know, or take them to baseball practice or take them to cheerleading practice. All those days are over forever, ever and ever. And then well, guess what? You're left stuck almost where the curse was reversed. And it seems like now you're back at a place of depression. You've lost yourself. You can't find yourself. And it's not just about you mothers. It's about also men who do that in their jobs every day, who find themselves saying, I'm on this great job. I love it. And yet they pulled so much faith and stock into their job role that God brought to them that before long, what happens if they lose their job? The company goes bankrupt, or they get fired or get laid off, or really really, to be honest with you, before long, you'll find yourself saying, oh, wow, the satisfaction is no longer there. And what was a blessing to you will become a curse to you. And the simple reason is because God says, look, I don't want any graven images. And we're not talking about a Buddha statue, folks. You know, today, you know, in our culture, we understand that, you know, we take, creative ideas through, you know, designs as far as fashions. If you watch HGTV and these people who are interior design, you know, decorators and how they'll take houses and they paint them grays or blues or certain colors, and they'll put a little bit, maybe like a little cute little Buddha statue, you know, on the table to sort of blend in with like an Asian look or something. Or, well, guess what? Nobody's worshiping these idols, folks. You know, it's simply, nobody's going to bow to it. It's not going to bring curses in the house, you know. Or like if you have like a, you know, some type of, you know, symbol, like a character or a word in the language of Chinese or something, you know, it's not going to bring you curses, folks. I mean, that would be insulting to these people, you know. But what's going to happen is you're looking at it as it's merely just decor. And I'm trying to bring an Asian theme in here, and that's what Asians do, and so that's what I'm trying to do. And so you're not going to turn around and God's going to curse you, because we understand the difference between worshiping an idol as opposed to having things as decor and decorations and stuff like that. And simple reason why is because of what? Because now in the New Testament, the Bible says, know no man after the flesh, known by the Spirit. That now God says that God is Spirit. Those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. You know, everything that was natural during the time back then now becomes a place where it is now spirit, which means everything now has been updated in the spirit realm. So everything now becomes that spiritual aspect and dimension of it. So what happens is you begin to look at your life and you begin to realize that all of a sudden everything now was God's about talking about a spirit. So we begin to understand that aspect of it is when you begin to set up a spiritual idol of your motherhood, being an attorney, of your, you know, being an accountant, of your having your own business. Anything and everything can become an idol, folks. And when it becomes a spiritual idol, guess what happens? Something will fall. And God will see to it that something will fall so you will get out of the paradigm you're in, break the mold of that and shatter to pieces the mold of what you're putting your faith in, that you can be able to accelerate. So there might be some pain, there might be some hurt, there might be a little bit of, wow, man, I don't know what to do now. But it'll take that void void, like it did in Genesis, where God says, let there be light. It'll take that void in order for God to speak back into your life. Well, because the Bible says, the Lord taketh and the Lord giveth. So God will take from you, folks. It's not a negative confession. God will take from you. He'll take from you things that no longer are really bringing you joy. No longer, that are holding you back even from futuristic things. God will take it from you, because God has to take from you in order to give you and show you and replace in you the very thing now that works in the now moment. Therefore, you get your mind off the former, hello, and you move into the latter. That's why the latter shall be greater than the former, because God will take the former as you allow it to Him, for Him to take it. And if it comes an idol to Him, He'll take it anyway, if you love Him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And He'll take it from you to be able to give you the latter, because He knows it's healthiness you need. And what's healthy is that you begin to move into the latter and leave the former. So what is God doing today? God is saying, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives you the strength. There's nothing impossible for you, but you're going to have to allow me to take from you the old. And as God takes from you the old, God will replace it with the new. And it might take a season or two. You might say, I've had so many people ask me, oh, Jeremy, how long will it take? How long is a season? And even though we look in a natural, but yet, guess what? According to the New Testament, we don't go by the natural necessarily. And so we look at that and we say that in the natural, that seasons last maybe three and a half months, something to that nature. But yet in the spirit, a season can last, folks, for years. And so we have to understand that it's the season of God. A season can be 6 months, 3 months, or it could be 5 years. But a season is depending upon how long God wants it to be, and maybe how long we're willing to shift, how long we're willing to die to ourselves, how much we're willing to give up in order to receive the new. And God, you have to realize, operations take time. I remember, I've had one operation my entire life. I've never even had a stitch in my body. And so one operation, I was like, man, this is crazy. And it happened just, I think, 7 years ago. And so my first operation was a little scary there. But when I went under the anesthesia and everything else, you know what? I didn't come out and say, oh, hot dog, I can just jump out of this bed and I'm healed. It took months. When you go through major surgery, it takes months sometimes for your body to fully recover. In fact, the doctors will tell you that the inside of your organs, if you go through a major surgery, it can take up to a year, a full year, for your inner organs to literally begin to be completely whole again as far as being healed. And so we don't know, folks. And so no matter what you've been going through, that when the storm comes and hits you hard, God says, look, I'm not taking away your ability to do all things in me. I'm showing you actually the opposite of that, that you truly can do all things. But in the midst of you doing all things, you must realize in the midst of doing all things and accomplishing all things, you have to be able to move into a healthy cycle where the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh from you. You have to move in a healthy cycle and not live in a hoarding stage. How many of you have ever watched those TV shows called Hoarding? If you haven't, you need to watch at least one, because I promise you, you'll go home and you'll want to clean your house up. I mean, every time I don't tell people this. I don't claim to have ADD and OCD, but I think I do, because everything has to be perfect for me. Everything's got to be clean and neat, and I mean, everything's got to be just spotless, because I want to, and the reason why for me is because I want to be able to know I'm a king in God's kingdom. I'm a lord under the Lord. I'm a king under the king. I'm a son under the son. I'm a priest under the priest. And for me, kings live in palaces. Kings live in nice things. So whatever you have, no matter what you live in, keep it clean and straight and nice and neat, because a king lives there. Hello, and that's you. So anyway, that's my pet peeve. So anyway, so outside of that, I keep everything clean and spotless for that reason. But guess what God's doing? God says, if you was to take your home and you watch those hoarder shows and you take your home and you clutter things and you just build it up, before long, you won't be able to walk in your own home. If you watch those TV shows Hoarding, you can't even walk in your own home simply because of the fact that you won't create a path anymore. That path will even be cluttered with stuff, and before long, that house will be nasty. It's a known fact, folks. Even if you watch those hoarder shows, you even have roaches and mice and stuff who can die underneath all your junk in your homes. I mean, it's disgusting. And so, what does God do? He says, I have to remove the former in order to replace it with the latter, which means God will have to clean up the clutter that you've created. Isn't it graceful to know that God God create. God will clean out our clutter. He'll clean out our spiritual closets to begin to make way for something new, fresh, and tangible that is more of an increasing thing in our lives, and that we can that actually will multiply more than the former things, that will stretch more than the former things, that'll begin to expand more than the former things. And so if you're in a season right now where you feel, you know, what is God doing to me? You know, what is God doing? What is God saying? Remember this one thing. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. And I have to allow God to clean up and to give Him permission, and me personally put corresponding action behind my faith to get rid of all the old things, all the old paradigms, all the old thoughts I've been thinking, in order for Him to give me new thoughts. He can't give new thoughts on top of old things, folks. It's got to be new wine in new wineskins, not new wine in old wineskins, the Bible talks about. So guess what? You might say, well, there's no activity. I'm working my rear end off. I'm doing everything I can. You keep in your mind right now that you can do all things through Christ Jesus, and guess what? You will accomplish that. But in the midst of that, you must realize, because you're God's child, because you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God, that God is altering things to set you up. God is in the midst. And I want you to, right now, while you're listening to this broadcast, I want you to say after me, say, God is setting me up. God is setting me up for a blessing. Why? Because as He sets you up, that means He must remove the old. And you must allow the operation, however long it takes, for Him to complete His task and His work in you. So don't question the operation. Don't question, am I doing something wrong? Why is God punishing me? What's going on? You keep before you the positive thinking of God's Word. That in God I can do all things. Through Christ I can do all things. And you keep that. You confess it. You claim it. You stand on it. You live it. Make it your foundation, and then do it. You don't force the activity to happen, but you do push it forward to give your very best that you know God wants you to give. And then when it breaks and the wholeness has been completed and the foundation has hardened, you'll see the biggest breakthrough of your entire life. And God will make sure that He brings you everything that the ladder has been waiting up in the heavens for you to have. And you'll find in your life the most happiest, joyful season you'll ever have. But remember, in the next season of your life, you're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to automatically, when you're on the height, the highest place of the pinnacle of your joy, and you're seeing the blessings of God, you can't just vast in the blessings. Because the blessings before long will become cursings to you, which basically means they'll no longer work for you. They'll no longer be active for you. They'll no longer turn over a profit for you. No longer turn over fruit for you. They'll no longer turn over anything you need. Because God says, hold on, you can't worship the good. You got to worship God. If you worship the goods I send to you and worship the blessings and the formulas that I'm bringing to you, no matter if it's naturally or spiritually, you're going to miss the mark every time, and you're destined to repeat your same mistake over and over and over again. Get in a cycle of movement, folks, where the old comes and then the old is gone. The new comes and then the new is gone. Keep yourself to where you're constantly evolving. You are literally, listen to me, the power of evolution. You know, the word evolution has been distorted for so long. But folks, evolution is not a bad word, because God wants to evolve something out of you that does not exist. And that's called a revolution, where God takes nothing and produces something out of nothingness. And so God Himself begins to bring an evolution to your life where there's nothing at all, and all of a sudden, we'll call it a big bang. Can I do that? And we'll just say a big bang, boom, by the power of the anointing of God, will bam, all of a sudden, bam, 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 something will begin to come into your life. And you'll find yourself saying, wow, where'd that come from? And God says, here's why it happened. And this is what I want you to know before I close the broadcast out today. Here's how it happens. God said, it happened because you removed the clutter and you left me a place of void. Listen to me. When you remove the clutter and you leave a place and create a place of void for God, that's where the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters. That's where God said, let there be light. God didn't say, let there be light over the midst of the earth already being here, cities and people already being established. We didn't need it then. When you create an atmosphere of void at that moment, God will go before you and say, let there be. And so, remember, it's healthy for you to clean out the clutter. of your life. It's healthy for you to remove everything that once worked for you. You give God glory and praise for what worked for you, what was, what once was, and then you move into a new season where you say, Lord, I was so thankful that I gave it my all in the new stuff you brought to me. But now I'm really ready and able to move on. So I cleanse myself of all the old, and I say, I welcome the new, and I say, come, Holy Spirit, and I welcome all the new right now. And you have to prepare yourself in the natural, folks. Prepare yourself in the natural. How do you prepare yourself? You create an environment with new ideas, new techniques, new atmospheres. You create for yourself. The Bible says, you know, choose this day whom you will serve. You create something out of nothing. And what the heart thinks, you produce and manifest. You have to create and produce a new vibrational way for your life of what it is you're wanting to see, what it is, how it should look. Because if you reside in the old, after a while, an old painting just becomes that. It becomes an old painting. And once, when people once looked at the old painting, when it was new, man, they loved it. They stood in awe about it, and they said it was awesome. But after a while, guess what happens? When this new painting is coming along, the old painting all of a sudden gets overlooked because the newness wore off. How many has ever gone to a restaurant? My friends and I were there last night because yesterday was my birthday. And we went to a restaurant. We're passing by a brand new restaurant that was packed full. It had to be hundreds of people there. It was so huge. And yet it's been going on for 3 months now. And they're like 2 hour wait for a table. And so we didn't go there. But the idea was what? We all in the car said, once the new wears off, then guess what? Something new will pop up and we can go there. And so, and guess what? It's still a little bit new to us because we've never tried it out before. But let's say we tried it out, that restaurant, constantly, and we just constantly tried it out. And guess what happens after a while? The newness that we even constantly try out will eventually wear off. And we'll be moving on to something else. Folks, guess what? How much more in the Spirit do we need to do that? How much more in the Spirit do we consume and eat from the table of God, of what God brings to us now that works for us today, that all of a sudden God says, okay, you're eating it, but it's no longer a daily portion for you. It's no longer your daily bread. You're eating yesterday's old stale bread. You need to move on. And guess what we're saying? Oh, God, what's happening to me? Nothing's working. Nothing's happening. And God says, let go of the old. Let go of the old and move on into the new. And you'll find the new will begin to be like mercies new every morning. It'll be fresh and new to you. And it'll literally bring you a new batch of mercy, a new batch of God's grace, a new batch of a first love experience when you automatically train yourself to think with new eyes. Train yourself to and I said to think with new eyes because you got to think with what you're beholden. You got to think with what you're hearing. Did you hear that? You got to think in your mind of what you're thinking. And sometimes you think with visuals. How many of you think in your brain with in picture form? Then guess what you're doing? You're thinking in picture form. Hello, you're thinking and visual. You're seeing and you're thinking through the seeing ability. And you think that way in all areas of your life. And so you're going to have to think things out and say, what is it I want and what is it I don't want? And create a place where God can move in your life and bring something new. Because guess what? You deserve it. And God is just wanting so bad to bring to you something new. So today, clean out the clutter of your life, folks. Remember, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives you the strength you need. I want to help you out today. I have a lot of courses that I put on the market a long time ago to help people out. And one of the ones I'm telling you right now, many of you listen to this broadcast, and I can tell you right now, because prophetically, here's what God showed me. Many of you listen to this broadcast, and you've not even tried to download or to order the School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination. Folks, let me tell you something. I've got School of the Prophets out. We've got School of Financial Perception, Mental Economics out. We've got, I mean, I've got 19, folks, 19 books out. My 20th book just came out yesterday. And you'll discover that here next week when we put it on our website. But guess what? I could tell you about all the things we carry, but I'd rather tell you about one thing that I know for a fact is what you need. It works for you. And if this broadcast ministers to you and it's where you are right now, then guess what? Order this course. Order the course. It's called the School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination. I can teach you and train you how to restructure your brain, how to start thinking differently, how to start seeing differently. I'm talking seeing from a spiritual point of view and a natural point of view. I give you scripture after scripture. I teach and train you how to test your imagination, how to expand your imagination. There's a saying that is true, and it says that If you do not shift into a new paradigm, if you do not change the way, you know, from the old, if you don't learn from the old, if you don't pick up and learn from the old, you're destined to repeat it every time. And it's so true. You've got to be able to shift your mind, to expand your mind, and move on over into the ability to know how to create and how to see from a new perspective. Your perception, folks, will make you or break you. You've got to know that you've got to change your perception of things too. You know, just because you're born again doesn't mean God says, here you go, here's my mind, here's your perception of how you should perceive things, now you're ready for life. God does not do that. You have to renew your mind, which means there's a constant flow of movement. Let me put it to you another way. A constant flow of an evolutionary creative ability. Hello. That's how Christ's mind moves. The mind of Christ moves in an evolutionary way that always says, let there be light. You know, creating something out of nothing. God says, the Bible says that God calls those things that be not, that's void, as though it were. And I teach you and train you how to do these things. Folks, you've got to learn how to be able to create your life. And I'm going to show you how to do it through the will of God. Go right now to identitynetwork.net. I'm talking to a couple of ladies right now. I'm just going to be prophetic with you. I'm talking to a couple of ladies right now that I'm seeing your faces in the spirit. You're listening to this and you're saying, you know what? I know what God is saying to me. Take the challenge today. You need this. You've been begging God for change. This is your avenue of change, God just said. You have to create a path where God can be able to put righteousness upon it. Because the Bible says the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. Go to the website right now, identitynetwork.net, and download the digital download course or order it through hard copies of the School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination. Or you can call my office to order it. Do not hesitate. The enemy will tell you, will talk you out of it. That's what his job is to do. The number at the office is 205-362-7133. That's 205-362-7133. And when you call, just say, I need to order the School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination. And right now, folks, listen, right now it is on sale. You're going to save about, gosh, probably $100, if not more, dollars on it. You got to get it right now while it's on sale. School of Thought, Visualization, Imagination. Hey, God bless you guys. Enjoy our next broadcast. Go and create your day and have an amazing day.